And you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Myself here in the haunted winery this week. Thankfully, my friend and our field reporter here, for one of our field reporters here from Michigan, decided to join us. Keith, say hello, Keith.
Hello.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott O.
I am Keith.
And we've been chilling out here. We actually have the people from our friends from SITE, which is the Scientific Investigative Ghost Hunting Team, on the line. We have Kay Owen, Jack Oliver, and Kevin Mayer on right now, hanging out with us. Now, you know, on the break, we were talking a little bit, and Keith, you got a question for these guys. I'm really curious to see, why this is not practiced. What's up with this? Because, I mean, you were the one that was looking at this.
Yes, I was reading that SITE does not engage in the activity of SITE cleansing or the termination of paranormal activities. Now, I was curious from your perspective, because I've noticed a lot of groups don't practice that. From your perspective, why not?
Actually, we don't have somebody ordained on our team. We don't have a qualified person to get into that. When you're doing a SITE cleansing, you're really dealing with people's personal lives and their psyche. And we try not to do no harm, and we're not going to go in and tell people that we can rid a place of a haunting when we don't know if we can or not.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense right there. I know from past experience, as far as we were actually talking to the people from Whips we had on a little while ago. They actually, one of the people on their team, let me go back and look at that, she's a level 2 Reiki practitioner, and she actually works on cleansing a house. That's one of her things. So we kind of got both the extremes going on here from your group to their group. I know I found myself in situations, and tell me if you guys do this also, okay? I know there's been some houses that I've been to, and I like to go and do a preliminary thing and just kind of get the lay of the land, see what's going on, see what people are doing. And what I always tell people is, okay, look, we're going to come in here, we're going to take pictures, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We don't know what we're going to get, but we're going to show you everything that we record as far as audio is concerned, as far as photos are concerned. Now, there may be something on there. There may not be something on there. We can't tell you for sure. But can you handle that? Are you following what I'm saying there, Kay? I don't want to be responsible for someone freaking out and wanting to move out of their house after we tell them, hey, look, we got a photo here. We really just can't explain. I don't know what to tell you, but it is definitely something that's anomalous. Do you guys follow that same practice?
Yeah, we do. In fact, we had that thrown up at us on an investigation up in Indiana. We have the EVP we captured there on our website. It sounds like a Southern woman asking, do you want to talk to me? Mm-hmm. We were going back over our audio there on site, and we're really excited about catching this. And the homeowner, the husband, was really excited we caught something. And his wife was ready for it to end right there. It scared her. She didn't want to hear any more.
Well, yeah, some people, I mean, they're curious. I mean, somebody has some weird stuff happen in their house. They're curious. A lot of people are curious to see if there's somebody that can come in there and kind of verify their suspicions. But after that, that's where the problem lies, I think.
Yeah, you're going to get those people that are, they kind of want to know, but at the same time, they don't want to know.
Well, yeah, it's more of a curiosity, I think. But once, I mean, unfortunately, there's some people out there, I think, that say, okay, look, we record it, and this place is haunted. This place is downright clear, you know, clear-cut consecutively haunted, which, I mean, I think you can agree with me, Kay. That in my opinion, that's not a way to go about things. There's no way of proving that a house is truly conclusively a haunted area. There's just impressions you can pick up. I mean, I've never been anywhere myself where I can say this place. Now there's been places I've been to where it's like, I think there's something going on here. I mean, there's definitely a, you know, I get the impression, or I've recorded something, took a photo, whatever. But I've never said, oh, this place is downright, this place is crawling with ghosts. You know, I mean, there's no way of really, in my opinion, of gauging that. You really can't do that. And this sounds like that's what I like about your guys' group right there, is that you guys aren't afraid to tell people that.
Right. We let them know that right at first meeting.
that's the way I think a lot of groups should go. I mean, it's, I think a lot of groups, when they get more experience down the road, they'll start to realize that thing also. There's a lot of young groups out there right now, I think, that don't really understand that yet, unfortunately.
People jump to conclusions really quick.
Do need to get it in the back of their minds and keep it there that you're dealing with people's lives. You're not just going out and trying to capture an apparition on film.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, great. But you pack up and you go home. You're back in your world, but you're leaving the homeowner or the business owner there stuck in their world, usually with more questions than answers.
Well,
and you really scare them.
Yeah, and you can do that, unfortunately. That's one of the big things that, you know, you do leave people like that. I've said it before on this show. I've told people just what we're talking about. I'm like, look, if you can't handle this, just tell me now or call me later on before we do anything. And it's not a big deal. It's totally cool. And, I mean, it's happened numerous times where people would call back up and say, look, you know, I'm thinking about what you said to me, and I think I would rather just kind of, like, live with the suspicion that there might be something here. I don't want somebody kind of verifying it for me, so to say.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing, I think.
I've had clients come right out and ask me, should I move?
Mm-hmm.
Can't answer that question.
Yeah, that's a personal decision.
That's a totally personal decision. I mean, and it is not, in my opinion, a paranormal investigator's job to do that. That's a realtor's job, I think.
Yes.
Last time I checked. You guys have done some pretty interesting investigations from what I've seen. You guys have been to some places that are very, very familiar to a lot of people. Namely, the first one I have listed here is the Bell Witch Cave in Adams, Tennessee. You guys actually went there in 2004, from what I understand. Well, as far as your report's concerned here. You guys went there, we've talked about the Bell Witch. We've had Pat Fitzhugh on the show a few times, actually. And he, you know, I'm sure you guys know who Pat is. Find this is obviously, you know, as far as the story is concerned, has to be one of the most active stories as far as the documentation is concerned. This has to be one of the craziest stories I've ever heard. You guys went down there and did your investigation. I mean, from start to finish, I mean, what did you guys kind of do? How long did you guys actually work on this particular area?
Well, actually, that's a bizarre case. We were invited down to do Most Shocking for CMT.
Okay.
That's how we got down there.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the landowner was not aware of the type of in-depth investigations we do. And when we got there, he first told us right off nobody was going in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And after the producers of Most Shocking talked with him, he allowed three of us to go into the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked out what equipment we could take.
Okay.
He also informed us right off the bat that is a trademarked, copyrighted case, that we were not allowed to publish any pictures or anything that we found.
Oh, wow.
Without written permission from him, or he would sue.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being an investigation, it wasn't.
It wasn't an investigation?
No, not at all. They had us go in for the cameras and move meters around and take some pictures, but it was not an investigation.
Kind of like the proverbial handcuffs.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. I mean, these guys, this was for a show, obviously, for Most Shocking. And you guys, it sounds like, you guys were kind of limited on the work you could do, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, we weren't allowed to take nothing in like we normally do. We weren't allowed to map it out. We weren't allowed to take any type of measurements. We weren't even allowed in the cave alone.
What are you going to steal a rock? What are you going to? That don't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I don't know, but that's what we pretty well got the impression of, is he did not want us taking anything, not even a stick off the ground.
You would think, though, doing a show like Most Shocking, especially for like a big network like CMT, mm-hmm. they'd be expecting something, you know, more. They'd be more willing to allow more than what they gave you.
Well, yeah,
I went down there with a whole team, and at that time we had, 15 people that went with us to be told that they had to stay in a certain place seated all night and only three allowed in the cave.
Well, yeah, it's kind of disheartening when you think about it. I mean, especially, I have family that lives like about an hour away from Adams, Tennessee. And I've often, it keeps getting put off, unfortunately, but I keep making plans to go down there and check the area out. From what I've heard, though, I mean, I'm curious as far as, hey, say, you might be able to save me a trip here, Kay. When you go down to Adams, Tennessee, I mean, I'm sure they have people coming in and out of there all the time, asking questions, talking to the locals, trying to find out if anything weird's going on right now. Were the people pretty open about things like that, or were they kind of standoffish?
In the town itself, they're really easygoing. They'll talk with you. The Bellwitch Museum is really a nice place to visit. You can get a lot of information on the Bell family there. There's a couple of authors, different authors besides Pat that's wrote on it. And we were lucky enough the day that we went, one of the authors was there and was able to sign books for us.
Oh, that's cool.
Going up to the cemetery where the Bell family is entered, that's a really nice, quiet cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem we had was with the actual cave itself. The man's wife is real friendly. She's the one that wanted us to come in, but the man that owns it acted like he didn't want us there at all.
Well, I mean, these people actually own this property, it sounds like?
Yes.
So, oh, okay. See, I have not heard about that. That sounds, and I mean, that sounds just very weird all around. I mean, especially like Keith said, if you guys are doing this for an actual TV show, it seems like, you know, the more information, the merrier when you guys go in there to do your thing. I don't understand why someone would try to, like, close you off if you – and you said you had, like, 15 people that came down there?
Yeah, we took our full team, all of our equipment. We rented vans and everything to get everybody and all the equipment down there. For them to have to sit up at the little mock log cabin they have on the site.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not like you went down there and just knock on the door. Hello, we want to look at your cave.
This was supposedly set up a good month and a half before we went.
And you guys had no idea what you were walking into, it sounds like.
Wow.
No.
Well, I mean, as far as the investigation goes, I mean, do you guys – well, I'm seeing here, I'm looking at the notes here. Well, yeah, you say right here, due to the manner of limitations placed on the members of site, we have to conclude the investigation, a public relations investigation, and no actual data was collected at the site. So, yeah, you guys really couldn't do too much with this, unfortunately.
I mean, no, we couldn't.
That's frustrating, too, it seems like. You know, you put all this time into something like that to go down there and do this work, and then you're totally cut off like that. That's really frustrating. That would drive me insane, I think.
Oh, it was so downhearting. And we're nonprofit. We, you know, all this money that we spent to go down there came out of our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be like a big knife to the heart.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of, you know, I mean, you're not the only group that does that. I mean, everything we do here on Ghostly Talk, it's self-financed. We do this all on our own.
No,
it's an independent
show. You
know
exactly where I'm coming from.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, and there's tons of groups out there that, you know, they self-finance everything they do. There's no way. I mean, there's a few people out there that think they can make a living doing this. That's a whole different show. I don't even want to get into that right now. But
yeah,
the majority of us, you know, we're out there doing this thing because we like to do it. We're interested in this. We're trying to learn certain things, whether it be in favor of proving the paranormal or not in favor of proving the paranormal. And when you when you dump all this money into something like that, it's very disheartening. I can understand how you guys would be especially, I mean, I would be excited to be on TV. It'd be kind of neat to be on TV and then have to deal with that. That would just be a complete mess. I couldn't. I feel for you guys on that one. That's totally terrible. You guys, I'm sorry, go ahead, Kay.
Great, let me say that. People from CMT, they were really, really good people.
Oh, that's cool. I know I've seen Most Shocking a couple times. It's a really cool show. It's a fun show, interesting show. It would have been nice to see more work done on that, to see you guys on there, though. That's unfortunate that it had to work out that way.
I see you had
we had our glorious 8 seconds.
I see you had a practicing shaman there. That's very interesting.
You guys actually have a shaman on staff? As far as site
he's a friend of mine that I can contact when you know, the need arises. The producer of CMT asked if I knew anybody that was psychic, and Willie happened to be the only one that popped in my mind at that time and was the only one available to go.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You guys also investigate. Well, there's another one I pulled out here that I thought was kind of interesting, and that was the Boonville, Indiana location, case number You guys have, like, really – they actually have real case numbers and stuff, Keith. Look at this thing. It's like – if it was, like, our group, it would be, like, case number two.
It would be my phone number. Just make it look good.
You guys actually have case number here. This was in Boonville, Indiana. What did this entail? Where did you guys actually – I mean, I don't know how much information you want to release here on the air, but as far as – I mean, what type of area was this? Was this a home? Was this just a piece of property? Where did you guys go in Boonville?
It was actually the old Boonville County Jail.
Oh. Okay, all right.
Interesting.
And how old, I mean, I know I've heard of that before a couple of times. How old is that prison? As far, I don't know the exact date, but how old is that approximately?
I can't think of the exact date right off top of my head. It's pretty close to 150 years old, I do believe.
Oh, wow.
Invited on that investigation from William Miller of Southern Indiana Paranormal Investigators.
Okay.
And William actually works with Dr. Tim Hart of the Mesa Project, so we were invited to go in with him.
Okay. How long did you guys work on this one? How long did you guys spend there?
We were there about 8 hours. Something like that. About 8 hours.
About 8 hours. This was just a one-day type. This was just a one-day investigation.
Yeah, that was more or less like another public relations thing that we were doing. Billy wanted to kind of utilize our equipment in with his research, or William, I should call him.
Mm.
and yeah, we went in as a favor to him.
Okay. Did you guys actually? I mean, there's some information here. I mean, it looks like. In this particular area, did you guys do any type of work? You said it was more of a public relations thing. Did you guys do any real? Did you guys get to go in there and do some work though?
Oh yeah, they let us have the run of the place. We actually set up in the top floor of the place, in the hallway where they've been having an apparition appear at Linda. The one room up on the top floor was used as a morgue at one time in the history.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to set up in it. We got some fluctuations in ions, which I found very peculiar for the location, and some feelings of coldness at times, but that was basically about it. We didn't really get any EVP there, did we?
There was no EVP from the work you got there? Well, you know, in 8 hours, that really, like we were talking about earlier, 8 hours, it's going to be hard to get any, you know, as far as results. I mean, you know, you can't sit here and I tell people this all the time. I'm sure you guys, you know, you've heard this too. You know, even if you can't get anything, you shouldn't be too discouraged because that's part of it. That's part of how this thing works.
As you said, oh, yeah. It's like fishing.
It's like fishing, yeah. It's like fishing. You're not. There's going to be days where you don't. It'll be a very uneventful day. It just happens. That's just part of the game. Some people get very frustrated with that, and I hate to see people go through that, but that's part of learning, too, I think. That's just part of the learning process.
Yeah, anytime you can set up your equipment, it's a learning experience.
Completely, completely. I mean, we've done experiments just at the house here. Well, I'm sorry, at the winery here, where you know, we've just done practice runs on stuff because, I mean, some of there's theories out there as far as EVP research goes that, you know, you don't need to go to a haunted area to try to pick up EVPs. They're all around you. You know, you can try to record them anywhere you go, including your own home. Some people have a hard time with that, though, I think, is that they actually pick something up, and then all of a sudden they think their house is haunted and they can't sleep at night. So some people are better off not doing that. You guys did another investigation, and I want to just kind of start off with this, but I think there's going to be a lot more information to talk about as far as this particular area goes. And if you want, we can get into some other ones that I may have not listed here, if there's something notable. But this particular location was in Union, Missouri. And I don't know. Let me just say this. We've had people on previously, wonderful people from this group. We had an absolute ball talking to them. And there was some very interesting evidence they played on the air for us as far as EVP research and stuff like that goes. It was an amazing show. And we had a ball talking to these people. Now, as far as this area goes, I mean, let's just get the high level on this also. This is called the Union House, am I correct?
People refer to it as the Union Screaming House.
The Union Screaming House, thank you, yeah, for obvious reasons. As far as a high level goes, how many times did you guys visit the Union Screaming House?
We went up there one time. That was over, how long did it take us to get there, about 8 hours? 8 hours. One way.
24 hours grand total.
Yeah. So that was a good jaunt for us. Steve LaChance actually invited us up, and we did a long leg and went up there, and we were actually on site about 12, 13 hours.
Okay. Now, you guys actually got in there and did, and how, you said that you worked, for, did you work for 12 or 13 hours at the house, or you were just physically there for 12 or 13 hours?
Actually, we worked about 10 of the time we were there.
Well, that's enough right there. That's a long day, in my opinion.
Yes, it was.
When we had, you mentioned Steve LaChance. He was one of the people we had on the show, a wonderful guy. We had a ball talking to him. As far as your guys' high level, your conclusions about this house, I'm just wondering what your guys' impressions were of the area.
Well, I had to put it on the website that what we experienced up there could be explained away from natural occurrences, where the house is located, the main water lines in the street, the type of weather conditions that was going on. But that's fallen back. We were only there one time.
Yeah.
Steve actually lived in the place. I can, honestly say everybody that we talked to up there seemed perfectly honest. I truly believe that they believe they experienced these things. Pictures and things that we were shown on site, I could not detect any type of Photoshop done to it or anything like that. Personally, I really don't know about the Union House. I would have liked to have had the opportunity to go back more times. Now, Steve, he did invite us back, but financially on our end, we were not able to get up there.
He invited you back. He invited you back for a second visit up there?
Yes. Yes. He worked with us real close over the internet. I stay in touch with him. He's a really good guy.
Yeah,
I really like his group.
They brought on. We played up. They had. They brought. They gave us a whole handful of things to play on the show, as far as some of the EVP stuff they picked up, and some of the photos they were taking there were just fascinating, in my opinion. I mean, like I said, it just goes back and forth, though. I mean, we really can't prove anything conclusively, unfortunately. As fascinating as they may sound or look, I mean, really, what do we? We can give our opinion. Like, you guys give your opinion here. You guys give your conclusions per investigation as far as your reports go.
Right.
But it's very difficult to say, well, I don't want to hear anybody say this. So the place is, it's haunted. It's crawling with activity. How do we, this place is completely haunted. I don't want to hear, I could not, I know I myself, like I said before, I have never been able to say that about anywhere I've ever been. Because it's, in my opinion, there's just no way, like we've said before, we can't prove it. Scientifically, we can't repeat it in a controlled environment. Therefore, it's very difficult to prove it with hard zeros and ones. That's the hard part.
If you could, the ramifications of that. I mean, it probably would. Would there be still research if you could?
Well, we wouldn't be doing this show right now. Let's just say that we wouldn't be here talking to you guys, talking to people from the site about this. If it was able to be proved, I mean, that's why I tell people sometimes. Sometimes it's the hunt itself. It's the adventure itself that makes it all worthwhile all the time. It isn't always trying to find the Holy Grail, so to say.
To get back to the slight cleansing, I find that kind of humorous, just only from the mindset of if you cleanse a site, you're not going to have it to research anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as cleansing goes, I mean, I have not done too much work with it myself. But Kay, you guys say you don't. We'll go back to that for a second. You guys do not practice the cleansing thing, because that's something you guys. As far as the idea goes of cleansing, I mean, you're trying to purify the energy in the area. That's what we were told just about an hour ago.
Yep.
That you're purifying. What was that, Kay?
I said okay. That's what they're doing.
My question is with that, though, and I mean, I'm not knocking the opinions of other people either, is, what are you purifying? I mean, when somebody says, well, we're going to cleanse the area, I make the automatic assumption that, well, there's something bad there.
Exactly.
That's what my assumption is. That's what I said.
You would think that there's something negative, and that's not always the case.
No, I mean, I don't think it's a safe assumption. They've seen that everything that, you know, every weird occurrence may be a demon of some sorts. I mean,
I just find the whole ideology of it kind of humorous.
Of demons?
No, sight cleansing.
Of sight cleansing. I mean, it's just a different approach, I think, to certain things. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here. We're on the line with sight right now. We're with Kay Owen, and my notes are gone. Kay Owen, Jack Oliver, and Kevin Mayer right now. And we're talking about some of the investigations they've been on in the past. You guys, in the next half hour, Kay, if this is cool, we'd like to talk about some other investigations you guys have worked on and maybe some weird things you may have come across. Is that cool?
That's
fine. All right, let's take a break then. Why don't we just chill out for a second? I'm losing my voice because I'm by myself.
And I am of no help.
No, you're doing great, Keith.
I'm sorry.
No,
strong and silent.
Keith at ghostlytalk.com. Send Keith email and tell him how he did. I think he's doing a fine job right now, and he's helping me out a lot, to tell you the truth.
Send your hate mail.
Send your hate mail to Keith. Send all your evil things to Keith. He'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, though, let's take a quick break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I am Keith.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Steve at MyParaSpace. You can visit us on the web at www.myparaspace.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
We'll be right back. Can't get enough ghostly talk? You go to ADDUnderground.com and click on Slack and Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
All right. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I am Keith.
And I have to say, Keith, thanks for stepping in this week and helping me out, man. I don't know
no
what...
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, I would have felt really, really, really lonely just sitting here by myself pushing buttons and screaming into a microphone for 3 hours. So I appreciate you helping me out. Keith, again, is one of our Michigan field reporters here for the radio show. So if you have anything you want, if you want to say hi to Keith, you can reach him at, keith@ghostlytalk.com.
Correct.
You have, you're part of the crew. You've been knighted with a Ghostly Talk email address. Congratulations.
Yeah, I was afraid to sit down and not kind of... not see Doug's little saber that he uses to knight people. Don't want to catch that wrong edge.
We have the wonderful people from Sight who have been hanging out with us here for the last hour. We have Kay Owen, Jack Oliver, and Kevin Mayer from Sight talking to us right now. Now, we were talking about some other things on the break, Kay, and you guys also investigated a place called the Shelbyville Police Department. Am I correct?
Yes.
I don't have the notes on this now to help me. What happened with this, basically? What's the high level?
That was such a bizarre case. We were contacted by an officer. They had remodeled an old building downtown Shelbyville, Kentucky, and moved the police department in it. And during the construction of renovating the old building, and once it got to functioning, the police officers started complaining about doors opening and closing, cold chills, things disappearing and reappearing, hot spots, cold spots. And they did not want their officers wasting their time investigating the building when they had a job to do, so they invited us in to do an investigation of the building.
Well, yeah, it sounds like those guys have other things to take care of besides chasing around, well, you know, things of this sort that we like to chase around.
That kind of verifies one of my ideas that whenever you want to learn something interesting, always talk to the officers. They see everything.
Well, yeah, you know. Well, go ahead, Kay.
True.
Go ahead, Kay. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said that is so true. I just love getting cases where we have police officers, fire department, EMTs. Yeah. As witnesses to the phenomenon of reporting.
We've actually talked to a number of people in law enforcement, and they've given us their opinions one way or the other. We actually visited a bridge here in our area. Trowbridge. And it was actually pretty – it was kind of a funny evening because we decided to go out here and just check the place out. There was a group of maybe like five of us. And we just went out there and we just wanted to shoot some photos and things like that. And we were not there for, I mean, Kay, we were there for about 5-10 minutes. And two cruisers pull up, literally get out of the car. And they were not very nice to us. Let's just say
yes,
that.
Had the same experience.
As soon as one thing we always tell people, I tell people this all the time, people that are new into ghosting, I'm like, bring something that has some credentials on it that shows that you're not some child or whatever running around just trying to get a cheap thrill. We always bring Ghostly Talk business cards, right? And we tell them what we do. We do a paranormal talk show, and we check out locations like this. We're not here to party and drink and shoot up any type of drugs or anything like that. We're just here to just collect some evidence. Well, as soon as we did that, the officers were real nice to us, but they told us, they're like, look, man, the only things that happen around here is we roll bums left and right around here. You know, they're down there doing drugs and stuff like that. But, you know, they were honest with us. We've talked to other officers that said cemeteries that have pulled up on us at cemeteries and, what are you guys doing? Doug can, you know, I wish Doug was here for this because he talked to a couple officers when he was in Texas about certain things. And these gentlemen said, I've seen very strange things here. I won't lie to you. These are people in law enforcement, like you just said.
Yeah.
I tend to take their word a lot stronger than your average person, too, just because you would think.
Well, they're in a position of authority. Yeah. I mean, we perceive them as people that, you know, they have to have their wits about them at all times of the day or they might not survive a shift. So
yeah, the way I look at it is they're training. They are trained to be really observant.
Very mm-hmm. true.
Where, you know, a normal person isn't. You can, it's a proven fact. You can have five witnesses to the same car wreck, and any police officer out there can tell you this. They'll get the question in all five witnesses separately and have five different car wrecks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you'll have, it's all perception, too, which is a lot of what we do with paranormal investigations. A lot of it's perception, I think, too. I mean, a lot of people perceive, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of people perceive things to be a paranormal occurrence where I'm like, nope, it's just the wind blowing through here, okay, man? Chill out and just relax. There's nothing going to kill us here.
It was a cat.
But as far as the Shelbyville, you said there was all types of weird things that happened to the Shelbyville Police Department. You guys went in there
yes.
and did an investigation, right?
Yes, we did. They invited us in preliminary. When we were just walking through with the chief of police then, he's since retired, Chief Shirley. Excuse me. Right in front of their elevators, we encountered a hot spot. We were not able to explain it at the time. But there was about a 4-foot area in front of the elevator shaft that was physically 12 degrees hotter than the rest of the hallway.
Oh, really? What, 12 degrees?
Yes.
That's a big jump.
Yeah, that's
yes, it was.
Pretty remarkable.
And that's a hot spot, you said, too. It wasn't a cold spot. It was a hot spot. Am I
it
correct?
It was a hot spot. I wasn't able to really explain that. Usually when you get in front of shafts, you'll have a temperature drop.
Yeah.
It's very odd to have a rise in temperature.
Well, yeah, you don't see that very often. That was by an elevator shaft, you said?
Yes, it's they're working elevators that they have there.
Was there anything, now, I'm just curious, you guys, I'm sure you guys dug deep into that when you had a reading like that. Was there any possible thing that could have, any natural occurrence that could have made a jump like that as far as temperature goes?
Not that we could see, but I was not able to get a true air and heat person in there. I was trying to get an air conditioning person to go in and check it out for me to see if there was anything that we had overlooked. I wasn't able to do that.
Okay.
But from the investigators we had on site, we couldn't explain it.
And that was you said that was in the elevator shaft, or was that...
In front of the elevator.
It was in front of the elevator itself.
Yes.
I'm just curious, I mean, this couldn't have been, if the police department, it couldn't have been too many floors.
No. It's a two-story building. Really, the only reason I'd know that they'd have an elevator in the place is to make it handicap accessible and to take equipment up and down.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, here's a goofy idea of the Scott L. School of Theory or theorizing. You have a
okay.
and this may be kind of funny. You know, I work in high rise buildings and stuff like that, and I find that sometimes, was this in the summertime you guys were working at this location?
No, the first time we were there was in September.
So it was a lot cooler outside then, more or less, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I know I've found that in certain buildings I've worked in, like, these are, like, bigger, like, you know, 13-story buildings.
Okay.
You get into an elevator, and it would tend to be a little hotter because, you know, it's a confined space, first of all. The door is somewhat sealed when it shuts. So you get
air movement.
Yeah, you get about 4 or 5 people in there. You don't have the air movement. You get people breathing, like, you know, hot air. Body heat and stuff like that, so it might generate a little bit more heat. Now, there's the other option, too. I don't know what time of the day it was you went there, but maybe did, like, two people walk out smiling or something when you guys went to check that out? I don't know. I mean, that's an idea, too.
No, not at the time. It was actually out in the open hallway area in front
mm-hmm.
of the elevator.
Okay. Because I'm thinking, okay, well, it's warm in there. I don't know. Did they have a camera in the elevator? I don't know. I mean, maybe something to check out. That's very interesting, though. I mean, as far as that's a huge jump.
Yeah.
12 degrees is ridiculous. I mean, a couple of degrees and my antlers are popping up. But 12 degrees, as far as, and that's hot. That's a lot warmer. It's a heat jump.
It's hot, yes.
Was there anything else that happened there?
Well, they were complaining about the building going cold over the weekends. It would get so cold that the officers wouldn't even take off their jackets. When they were doing the report.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little
and, our contractor on our team advised them to replace the master thermostat in the building. And the first thing they came back with was, well, it's new. This is, you know, a new building, new construction. And he says, I don't care, replace the thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have any problems with the building going cold. It was a faulty thermostat. One of the secretaries in the main office on the first floor had the complaint of her bottom desk drawer would open on its own, and several witnesses had seen that. She'd be working and the drawer would just, you'd hear it click and it would open.
Okay.
And we actually slapped a level on her desk and found out that the desk was actually unlevel.
Okay.
The lowest side was toward the front of the drawer.
Okay.
We checked out the drawer and found out that the catch mechanism on the back of the drawer was worn down.
Ah.
She had been placing all the files in her, the front of the drawer.
Vibration.
And just common use of the desk, the vibration of her using the desk was letting gravity do its thing. It would actually, the weight of the files would flip the little clasp and the drawer would open.
I had a desk like that at one of my old offices I worked at, Kay, and it used to drive me completely insane, all right?
Mm-hmm.
This drawer, the clasp, like the locking mechanism was completely broken off. It was just ripped apart or something like that. And this door, I literally had to take tape and just tape the thing. I mean, my
duct
desk
tape?
Looked horrible. Yeah, I used duct tape. It was horrible. Cause I
fixes
just,
anything.
It fixes everything. I'd have to tape this desk shut because it would just keep opening up. And it was obviously because, I mean, it wasn't anything, I didn't think it was anything paranormally related at the time. It was just the ground was unlevel under it, or the desk itself was unlevel, and it would just keep opening up.
That's one of those things that a lot of people take for granted. I mean, if you don't investigate, you know, the surroundings, try to find out, all right, there's got to be a reason for this. Let's try anything and everything.
And the nature of time and space like that. I mean, another great example is I have this big metal filing cabinet that I put all my, just my bills and whatever, just junk. It just goes in there to keep it somewhat organized, right? And one night, Kay, this will crack you up, I was working by myself at home, and what happened was I was just sitting there working, right? And all of a sudden, I heard a boom come from my at the time the filing cabinet was right next to my desk, right?
Yeah.
I just heard a boom, like somebody punched the, like actually punched this filing cabinet. It's sheet metal too, so when you hit that, it's a big empty box.
Like a gong.
It's pretty loud, right? So
yeah.
Needless to say, I kind of just like, you know, I jumped out of my chair and kind of I was kind of stuck to the ceiling for about 5 minutes, right? And it scared me. It startled me. But I said, and this is the thing was, I was working right after we came from an investigation, right? So
yeah.
I thought, oh my God, I brought something home. I'm in trouble. What did I do? I'm in trouble. What am I going to do? What I did is I investigated the same way you guys do. I looked at the filing cabinet and found that there was, you know, it's imperfect. Everything you buy is pretty much imperfect when it's built.
Yep.
There's something, I'm a logistics guy, so there's this thing we call slack when you build things. And you have a certain amount of slack with measurements, which means that things are, by nature, they're imperfect, even if they're built with machines. So what happened was the side of the filing cabinet was a little bit imperfect, and you get that, you know, you get that little bubble with the metal, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
It was pushed in, and something, the air shifted a little bit, something like that, and it went boom and popped, it kind of popped out, right?
I haven't slept with heat.
Yeah.
In auto body work, we call that oil can.
There you go. Exactly.
And,
same thing.
Anything can set it off.
Yeah, and I mean, I figured that out the same way you guys kind of do your thing. It was a natural occurrence. It was a perfectly natural thing. It was scary. Don't get me wrong. I just got done, you know, walking around a graveyard for like, you know, a half an hour, 45 minutes. So, I mean, needless to say, I was a little on edge when I got home. But it was still something very natural. It was a natural occurrence. So, I mean,
yeah.
It sounds like you guys, these are the things that people need to do, obviously. All types of weird things like this happen. I mean, it's obvious you guys have seen these types of things also. But upon further inspection, you'll find that a lot of these weird occurrences people equate to being a paranormal occurrence, they're just natural things
natural
that happen. They just happen. Unfortunately, that's the case. And that's the reality of it. Is there anything else that happened at the Shelbyville Police Department?
Well, we were unable to explain why the doors were opening and closing. We checked the squareness. We checked the levelness of all the doors in the building. They were all right.
Okay.
I cannot explain why a door would open or close. We even, you know, left doors partially open and opened the outer doors that led to the outside of the building, thinking suction, you know, in the hallway or something.
Mm-hmm.
We could not recreate what they were describing happened to us.
And the doors were just opening and closing on their own?
Right. Be completely latched. They would hear the doorknob click, and the door would open, and then it would close behind them as though somebody walked into the room.
Something literally opened literally turned the doorknob and opened the door and then shut the door.
Yes.
Ah, See, that's...
Yeah, even in those cases, the first thing I always check for is also walking towards the door, because sometimes when you walk towards, you can upset the, I can't even remember.
Well, the floor.
Yeah.
The floor.
But it's like vibration, basically.
Well, yeah, and that happens with other buildings. I mean, I don't know if this is...
Upsetting the weight.
Was this on the second level of the building, or was it on the first level of the building that these doors...
On both levels, and it was in the new part of the building, so it was actually tiled floors.
Yeah, I was going to say, how hard was the floor? Was it a solid floor, or was it, you know, carpeting of some sort or something like that? I mean, those things I know can play into that, too, but, I mean, to actually have the doorknob turn...
doorknob turnings are not a good sign.
No,
of normal activity.
Well, of normal activity itself.
We were running rigs on the second floor one evening, and Jack was there with me when this happened. It's been pretty uneventful. Rigs hadn't been picking up nothing, and then all of a sudden electrical magnetic spikes happened on our meters, and we felt a cold breeze. Now, I'm not talking just a little gentle breeze. We actually flicked our cigarette lighters, and it was laying the flame sideways in the second floor hallway where there is no air conditioning duct work.
Oh, wow. So you actually got it was movement without any type of propellant behind it, it sounds like.
Exactly. We were unable to recreate it. We had people go to the end of the halls once again and open doors and close doors, and we weren't able to recreate it.
We had the same thing happen just recently. We had the video up on the Ghostly Talk site when we were, again, at the Fenton Hotel with our friends from Grimstone. We actually got it on tape, Kay. We watched a door actually shut right in front of us on tape. It was really cool. The thing was, I'm sorry, go ahead, Kay.
But I bet.
Yeah, we walked in the room. I think I might post it back up on the site again for people to check out.
I have it on my laptop.
Oh, you downloaded it. Smart guy. Doug walked in with his camera, and all of a sudden you hear Doug go, "Hey, that door's closing." And I'm like, you know, I said the Ghost Hunter's Prayer, which is holy S word, right? And the door actually shut right in front of us. The thing, though, we tried to recreate that, and we couldn't get the door to shut on its own. The first thing we thought, just like you guys would, was that, okay, this is an old building. The Fenton Hotel is about 150 years old also. And the two upper, well, there's a basement too, I believe. But the two upper floors, they are just beat. They're beat. They haven't been used in, I mean, years. So the place is in really bad shape. The windows, there's no insulation up there anymore, so it's rather cold, right, which warps wood. We know that, which can make... not the door jamb itself, but the actual doorway where the door sits, it may make that unsound. It may make it uneven. So even that, we don't know for sure if that happened or not, but it happened right in front of our eyes. It was a very, very – there was no doorknob, though. It isn't quite as crazy as what you guys were talking about of doorknobs actually being turned and then the doors opening and then closing again. I mean, at least I have to say whatever is in there, at least they have some manners. They do shut the doors behind them. That's very nice.
Very polite.
You guys also do a lot of EVP work, from what I understand, too. And,
yes, we do.
You said Jack actually, he's like your main EVP guy, am I correct?
Yes. Let's speak with Jack.
Yeah, Jack has some ideas. I'm just curious to get at Jack's side. Because we're EVP junkies here at Ghostly Talk.
Yes.
We love EVPs. Keith, our field reporter, loves EVPs. And I always like to talk to people about what their ideas are about EVPs. So, Jack, what can you lay on me tonight? What do you think is going on?
As far as EVPs goes, we all know it's the voices of the deceased we're capturing on audio. They can be captured on any kind of audio equipment. It doesn't matter. You can pick them up.
Really?
It's just the general idea and the way that I pull them off of my devices and analyze them, which makes it a lot different.
I've long felt that... In the paranormal realm, I think truly the first step we're going to take as to any kind of serious discussion is going to be audio, EVP realms.
I think that too. I mean, audio is just, it's as far as media goes nowadays, there's so much more technology out there to utilize. And it don't cost thousands of dollars anymore.
Yep.
As far as the recording industry and things like that. You don't have to spend, you know, thousands of dollars on a mixing board. Well, you don't even need a mixing board, but certain types of equipment to analyze audio. You can pretty much buy a small software package.
Anyone can do it.
And anyone can do it now. A lot of it's done for you. So I think you're right, Keith. A lot of, as far as a lot of research, I think, and I see the trend already. A lot of people are starting to really get into EVP analysis a lot more than actual spirit photography or things, or things of that sort. Jack, you there, Jack?
I'm here.
Now, do you have any type of weird? I mean, is there any type of theory that you have as far as this? Now, you say you can pick this up on any type of recording device or I mean, do you mean recording device or audio device itself?
Man, if you have a cell phone that's able to record your voice, you can pick an EVP up off your cell phone. You can pick it up off anything that can record audio. That's clearly a camcorder that has the audio on it. You know, picks up the audio and the video.
Mm-hmm.
Many different things. A lot of people tend to use the shoebox type of cassette recorders and use those to record EVP. But you got to be careful because if you don't use a microphone in that thing, you're going to record it. You're going to get a lot of the. You're going to record a lot of the gear noise inside
tape. The tape drag and things like that. Yeah, that's one of the first things I learned, Jack. Was if you're going to use an analog recorder, you need to use an external microphone because you will get it. You'll get a lot of the mechanisms inside the recorder itself, and especially tape drag, which will give you a lot more hiss. One thing I'm curious about, Jack, your opinion is, what do you prefer? Do you prefer analog or digital?
Right now, I have digital. You really don't have to use a microphone for a digital because a digital doesn't have a lot. There's not a lot. There's no internal noise.
Yeah, there's no moving parts.
Yeah. So I like digital. It's smaller. You grab it, you're gone.
It lasts longer.
Other people, you know, are stuck with things that they like to use. Some people use reel-to-reel still.
Oh, yeah.
It's a variety of different ones. Some people use micro cassettes, which I really don't recommend because the tape's so small and everything, and it's very easy for those mechanisms to speed up or slow down to where you're talking, I'm talking to you, and I sound like Mickey Mouse, or I'm slowed down and I sound like I'm talking in mud.
Plus, yeah, who wants to carry
either
a case
the standard
in
shoebox set recorder or digital?
Yeah, I know a lot of people. You know, there is a debate between analog recorders and digital recorders. Some people say that, you know, with an analog recorder with cassette tapes themselves, that whatever it may be, as far as what if it's an entity of some sorts or whatever type of energy it may be, it's easier to manipulate the electromagnetic field that's generated with an audio cassette itself, because that's generally what you're working with is the field to produce that, well, to record the sound on the cassette itself. The hard digital thing, I mean, I use digital myself. I have two digital recorders that I use. They're both Olympus. As far as convenience goes, we both know that you can't beat it. I mean,
yeah.
All you need is a nice little recorder now and a little USB cable. Feed it into your computer, and you can analyze it that way, as opposed to cassette tapes.
Guess what?
What's that?
Guess what? When you download your EVP through your USB device, guess what you're doing to your file?
What are you doing?
You are downgrading the sound file smaller than it should be. You're taking this file that has such density, and you're turning it into a smaller file. You need to go through your line in jack on your PC to download the sound file from your digital.
Okay.
You'll get the whole thing. It will not be downgraded or anything. You'll get the whole sound file downloaded through a patch port from your digital device into your computer. There will be nothing that will interfere with that file at all. It will be clean for you to go in with your audio software and look at it.
Well, here's a question, though, and I understand what you're saying, too, as far as the USB technology goes. Most people, a lot of people use MP3 recorders, okay? A lot of people use MP3, which obviously MP3 is more or less a stripped-down audio file. It removes a lot of sound that the human ear can't really pick up, so you don't notice any difference, right, which makes it a smaller file. Now, the recorders that I use, Jack, they feed down into WAV files through the USB, which, from what I understand, that's an original capture. That is not a stripped-down file at all, as opposed to MP3.
It is. Look at me.
It is? Okay. Basically,
yeah.
the only real way, I mean, the way to do it, according to yourself, would be to more or less, I mean, I think, like I said before, when you have a USB connection, you can suck down that file in seconds as opposed to the hours you're going to spend recording it manually into your computer, right? That's
you don't have to spend hours. All you have to do, see, I know you got Matt Gosman, you use different software. I use a program called Adobe Audition 1.5.
Yeah, that's what,
and
yeah.
It is a definite addition out there for EVP research. Through that, it lets you do, if you ever downloaded it and messed with it, it gives you more options to do, to actually go in there, clean that track up, and look at it more, analyze it further, so you can pick things out down to the minute second in a Hertz field. It's very detailed. As far as recording from, say, you're wanting to record from your digital recorder through a patch cord,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is go to that file, plus play, and hit record on your software, and it'll record that whole segment or however long
yeah.
you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done that numerous times, actually, with our recorders. I've been using my USB connection just to feed it right into my PC like that. That's an interesting idea, though, that it actually degrades the file, though, and makes it compresses the file, so where you may be losing data then, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
That's
interesting.
What was that, Jack?
Go ahead,
Jack. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I was in your field. I didn't know how you capture EVPs or anything like that until I was trained to capture them better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very interesting idea. I'm gonna check that out some more myself. I've been using my USB cable, guys,
yeah,
for like 3 years now. You know, it's an interesting idea. I know a lot of people still they do the old school thing where they just manually feed it up into their computer, whether it's digital. Or analog tapes. It's a very interesting idea. I tell you what, though, guys, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're totally out of time. You guys, I need to thank you guys for coming in here and talking to us about it. You guys are very busy, obviously. It sounds like you guys have been doing a lot of work, and I mean, I commend you guys for that, for the type of work that you guys do also, which is a little bit, I think it's a little bit different. There's a lot more experience behind what you guys do. So there's a lot more. You guys obviously get in there and try to find out what the natural occurrence may be. There's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, that don't do that. And you can't. I don't knock people for that at all. I admire people that go out into the field and try to do this thing, however they may approach it. Because, like we've been saying this whole show, it's been this thing where, look, this is a field where we don't have theories.
There's so many people.
I mean,
out there.
We don't have solid ideas. We have nothing but theories.
There's so many people that are in the field that. Someone somewhere is going to hit something and strike gold.
I certainly hope so.
And the more people that do it, the better.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Jack, and Kevin, I need to thank you guys for coming on the show. You guys have been absolutely awesome. Thanks for coming on and hanging out with us for the last hour and a half. Our website, again, is www.ghostlytalk.com. You can we're here from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. every Sunday. Sometimes we do these special shows. You'll see them on our little schedule. Sometimes, you know, one thing I want to say to people, too. People always email me saying, hey, well, who's going to be on the show this week? I'm going to say it here on the air. Go to the right side of the website, and there's a block that says upcoming guests / shows. That's where we have we usually update it monthly because we kind of figure out what we're going to do from month to month here. So check that thing out, and you'll know what's happening from week to week, you know, per month here on the show. I need to thank the ladies from WIPS who came on, Erica and Chris Bellinger. I said that wrong. And Behringer, Erica and Chris Behringer for coming on. I need to also thank the mighty Marcus Leader for coming on the show and hanging out.
He's an interesting individual.
Yes, and we learned some pretty interesting stuff about our news guy tonight. It's pretty cool. I need to thank especially Mr. Keith here sitting next to me for helping me out tonight.
No
thankfully,
way.
I still have a voice. I made it. I did it. I made it through the show without losing my voice.
I'm so used to just listening and pondering. I catch myself like, oh.
Well, this is a different kind of show. I mean, this, you know, we haven't done something like this in a while. You know, it's fun to try new things and stuff like that. Hope I didn't screw things up too much tonight as far as the production and stuff like that goes. But I need to thank all you guys out there for listening. You guys got to really remember this. We really appreciate everybody that emails us and supports this show and downloads the podcast or listens to it on some wherever FM or AM station there is out there. There's tons of them, apparently, that broadcast the show that we don't know about. We need to thank you guys. We need to thank everyone for listening to this show. I can't thank people enough. I'm done thanking people. I'm done this week. I want to go to bed. I'm tired.
Well, thank you for inviting me back.
Yeah, Keith, thanks for coming on again. You know, Keith's one of our field reporters, and we love the hell out of this guy, and he stepped up to the plate here.
Hopefully not too much love.
You, You helped us. You helped me out a lot tonight, Keith, so I need to thank you for that.
No, thank you.
On that note, though, we're going to get out of here. Guys from Kay, stay on the line for 1 second. I want to talk to you for a second after the show here.
Okay.
This has been Ghostly Talk, though. I'm Scott L.
I am Keith.
And we're out of here, man. We'll see you guys next week. Oh, you know what? I totally forgot something. You know what? I'm going to totally blow that segue.
Party.
Yeah, next week is our four-year anniversary. You know, we've done 3 hours here, right? And I haven't mentioned that next week is our four-year anniversary for Ghostly Talk. We're going to have a special broadcast this coming Saturday. We're not going to be broadcasting this coming Sunday like we normally do. We're having a special broadcast from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Saturday, March 11th. If you've ever heard one of our anniversary party broadcasts,
they're fun.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty interesting. We're going to be broadcasting from Bonster's Lair, one of our other GT people, Bonnie's Lair. That's where we do this party every year. So check that out next week. It's going to be really interesting. I totally can't believe I totally forgot to mention that. I had the notes right in front of my face too.
I was actually just thinking about probably about an hour ago.
Hey Scott, why don't you mention something about your anniversary party? You guys have been doing this show for 4 years.
I started thinking about one of the questions I wanted to ask. There it went.
Well, that's it. I'm done. I can't take this anymore. You guys go to the site, check out everything. I'll have the archive up here in a little while if you're going to download it. I'm out of here. This is Ghostly Talk. Good night, guys. Have a good week. Bye. All that good stuff.
Only the corrupt shall listen to now.
I need to go someplace where a man can fail.